It may sound odd, but source selection officials have the authority to use more than one selection approach within a single procurement. And it looks like they're using that authority more often these days. You can find that authority in an often overlooked section of the Federal Acquisition Regulation, FAR Part 15.101. Joining me with more on how this works and what it means, procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so it would seem logical that a source selection should use one method so everybody understands what's going on, but apparently that's not necessarily the case.
No. The FAR section you cited allows agencies to use either the normal methods that we're accustomed to seeing or any combination of those. And certainly we're used to seeing two basic ways of doing things. One is lowest price technically acceptable, where you meet a minimum technical standard, and then whoever's got the lowest price or evaluated cost wins the procurement. And the other is, you know, the trade-off method, in which price factors can be less important than non-price factors, like technical superiority. And, you know, in that instance, sometimes price is not very much of a factor at all.
And so how can they work together in a given procurement if you're going to buy, I guess, say, professional services or some kind of a complex product where it's not like pencils and clearly they're all the same and the lowest price wins? How does this work in real life?
Well, there are some GAO cases that show how these things operate, and for that analysis, I'm indebted to Professor Ralph Nash of George Washington University Law School, who did an analysis of these and published it. One of the most common ways of doing it is you take all non-price factors except for past performance, and you make that a pass-fail evaluation, like the lowest price technically acceptable. So you look at technical excellence and other non-price factors, and once you've met a certain minimum standard there, then those offerors that pass that test go into a trade-off. And the trade-off is between, in this instance, price and past performance. So the agency says, look, we want only a minimum level of technical acceptability, but we're willing to pay more for a offeror who's got excellent past performance, or, you know, put conversely, we're not going to necessarily go with a low-priced offeror who's got very poor past performance. And that's the sort of thing that that's been happening most frequently in using this authority. But there are other iterations and other versions of it.
And you mentioned these are coming up in some GAO cases, which means that methodology or that multiple methodology must provoke some protests from time to time.
Yeah, all these protests have been on the evaluation stage. No one's actually come out yet and said, well, we don't like this particular evaluation technique. It's not, it is not authorized by the FAR. To do that, you'd have to protest before offer or offers are even received, and that's something that most potential offerors aren't willing to do. But, you know, once you get into the evaluation process, people are surprised to find out that there's been a combination of a pass-fail and a trade-off decision. One of the things that confuses people is the word best value. We seem to associate best value with the idea of a trade-off decision, that the agency is willing to pay more for something that's better. But the way it's used in the FAR, oddly enough, is best value is whatever method the government uses to provide to determine that it gets the greatest overall benefit. So even a lowest price technically acceptable evaluation method is a best value method, and that also creates some of the confusion here.
I guess you could roll in the idea of long-term or life cycle costs of the solution that you buy, which might be lower than the initial acquisition price, and maybe that would then make it the lowest cost.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly have a lot of flexibility about how you evaluate any of these things. And this FAR section gives you the ability to, gives an agency the ability to combine them in unique ways. For instance, in another procurement that was reported by GAO, there was a technically acceptable trade go-no-go decision, and then there was a trade-off between past performance proposal risk and price. So they expanded it beyond past performance to include proposal risk and decided to pay more for that.
And what is proposal risk exactly?
Well, proposal risk isn't necessarily how well you've done in the past. It's how risky the agency feels your approach is. I mean, if you've got a new and innovative approach to doing things, the agency might take a pass on that, even if it's otherwise advantageous, if they think it's too risky.
We're speaking with Joe Petrillo. He's a partner at the law firm Petrillo and Powell. And there's a case called Coast to Coast Computer Products, in which the idea of the socioeconomic status of the vendor was thrown into the mix of trade-offs. How did that one work?
Yeah, that's an interesting version of this. All non-price factors were evaluated as a pass-fail, except for socioeconomic status, meaning in this instance, small businesses and different versions of small businesses, such as veteran-owned small businesses, and price. So agencies that met the cutoff were then evaluated for whether they were a small business or had offered to use a lot of small businesses and that sort of thing. And the way this procurement worked, the agency not only had a go-no-go decision on the technical factors, but it then engaged in a reverse auction, going through several rounds of price proposal, trying to get prices down. When it got them down far enough, it then made an award decision. And in this particular instance, only small businesses got award, and many of them were in categories like service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses that that the agency was looking to make awards to.
Well, that must have been a surprise, because you figure if you've got the inside track, because you are a, for example, veteran-owned small business, then you find yourself in a pool with a bunch of other small businesses or favored categories, and then you're in a reverse auction, then kind of the fun sort of goes away at that point, I imagine.
Yeah, it must have been a real nerve-wracking kind of procurement to go through. I don't envy the people who had to compete that way.
And there's another case, too, cited by the good Professor Sabinik regarding the Oasis contract, which has not really been a barn burner for the GSA. In this case, the Oasis small business deal.
Yeah, that's, in terms of evaluation criteria, that's probably the most aggressive use of this flexibility in the FAR. The way this worked was a group of companies were competing for a multiple award indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract. And these offerors went through an analysis, and then they were ranked, and a predetermined number of the most highly ranked offerors, and this is just for non-price factors, basically technical, past performance, that sort of thing. So a predetermined number were then evaluated to see if they had a fair and reasonable price. Not so much a comparative price analysis, but just whether their price was considered fair and reasonable. And after going through that analysis, if you had a fair and reasonable price, you got award. If not, you were taken out of the pool, and the next most highly ranked offeror was put in, and they were subjected to that same analysis. And that's a really kind of an innovative and somewhat unusual way to select offerors. And someone who just missed the cutoff protested to the Court of Federal Claims. And they really weren't able to make much headway on showing that they should have been evaluated more highly. So they placed most of their emphasis on this issue of, well, you didn't look at my price before you kicked me out of the procurement. And the court held in favor of GSA on that, and the agency won. And they sort of analogized it to the situation where a technically acceptable offeror is removed from the offeror is removed from the procurement, and their price isn't considered further in making
sure
that decision. I'm not sure the analogy holds up, but GSA won in this particular instance, and they were able to support their award decisions and the methodology that was used.
All right. Well, I guess it's time for some smart folks to dust off FAR 15.101. Joe Petrillo is a partner at the law firm Petrillo and Powell. Joe, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.